Welcome to the International Teacher Podcast with your host, Matt the Family Guy, Kent the Cat Guy, and me, Greg the Single Guy. We are recording episodes from around the globe to tell you about the best kept secret in education. That's right, it's teaching overseas. We're glad to have you join us. Welcome to this episode of the International Teacher Podcast. I am Greg the Single Guy, and I am alone today. Kent is preparing for something else, and Matt the Family Guy is playing softball tonight, so it's just me. But we have a wonderful guest and a little twist on our show, because when you meet this woman, she's coming at us from the United States, but she is an international teacher, and she is in the U.S. as an international teacher. She's originally from Brazil, and we'll talk to her in a little bit, but I'd like to welcome Camila Duarte Vasconcelos.
Yes, I was close on.
Yes, good. Did I do okay?
Yes, you did it okay. Thank you so much, Greg, for having me over.
Hey, where are you calling from in the U.S. then?
I am calling from Fayetteville in North Carolina.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm way over in the Middle East, so this is exciting for me. It's evening for you, evening for me, morning for you. Yes. And you're originally from Brazil, right?
Yes, I'm from Rio de Janeiro. I'm from Brazil. And I took this opportunity to teach here in the United States, and I've been here since 2019.
2019. And yes. Were you teaching in Brazil before you got to the U.S. to teach?
Yes, that's my mistakes was right there. I started to teach in 2011 in Brazil, elementary and middle school over there.
So maybe the international was sort of like a secret also, like it was for me. Was it you didn't really know much about the international opportunity in Brazil when you were there?
In my entire life, I was always fascinated about teaching. But also about traveling. But I thought combining the both things, only if you work for a big company, a multinational company. I never heard about any teacher leaving the country. We just have the public institutions in Brazil and private institutions. And I never knew about international teaching. Then one of my best friends was hired to teach in the south of Brazil in an international school. It was called Pan Americana. And I said, that's... And yes, it's an entire American school in the south of Brazil. So let me hear more about that. So we start to discuss, we start to figure out. Later on, she moved to Dominican Republic. And when I went to visit her in 2017, I fell in love. And I said, okay, I want this opportunity too. I really want to see what is out there. And I can promote my work. I can keep doing that. And reach more students worldwide now. That would be awesome. And once I come back to Brazil, I still can share all my experiences in different ways.
You went from teaching in your home country. You visited your friend started teaching international in your country. And then she went to Dominican and you went to visit her and you just fell in love with the idea of travel and teaching. And you went back home. Did you go to a job fair or how did you get the job that got you overseas?
So that is the tricky part for our Brazilians. We do speak Portuguese. Portuguese is completely different from English and is something that you need to improve over the years. You need to study a lot. So since 2017, I enrolled myself in different online courses. I got a tutor to help me to improve my communication skills, to improve my writing skills. And I was always trying to connect myself with the different teacher programs abroad. We have several options. We can enroll in private agencies, but this program that I enrolled myself, it was the J-1 visa, and it's completely free. They are hiring teachers to teach in the United States, and the enrollment and the application process, it's free, which was a great opportunity for me to restart. And when I start my application process, I couldn't see what are the things that I had to keep improving to land in an international position in the future. So I took all those steps, improved my English, improved my resume, improved my teaching skills, connected even more with the teachers that I was working in at school. They could see me growing and expanding, and eventually it got too big to remain where I was, and I took the next step to take the challenge.
So tell me, let's go back a little bit again. When you were teaching in Brazil in school, what were you teaching? What level were you teaching? What subjects were you teaching?
Yes, I'm a visual arts teacher. I teach painting, drawing, all kinds of sculpture, all kinds of art-related subjects. And I was teaching elementary level and middle school level over there. The school system is a little different than here in the United States. The division of the classes are a little different. I had to adapt once I got here. But since 2011, I have been teaching and working two different places, which was kind of hard. But as teachers in Brazil, we're always struggling and we're trying to improve our income. So I was doing that, going back and forth. But that I'm so grateful for that I had the chance to experience both levels. Once I got here, I had the chance to grow and expand myself and go into the high school level as well over here. But it was a great experience. Everybody needs to join the J1 program to have at least 2 years of teaching experience.
So before you can go overseas and join J1, which is the company or the matching company for finding you a position.
J1 is the type of visa.
Okay, it's a kind of visa in the U.S., yes, basically.
And the companies is called sponsors. Any type of agency that create, that had the partnership with the government to provide the J1 visa can sponsor the teachers to come over here. That's how.
And see, I don't know anything about that because I am from the U.S., so I wouldn't know that unless I had friends that went through the process. So you went through the J1 visa yes. process.
And I they applied. Would.
Yeah. Okay, and they had, and did they say, okay, once you have the qualifications, once you've beefed up your resume, then we're going to look for a position for you. And was it specifically in international schools or in regular, like in public schools in the U.S.? How did that work? Like, how did you know what you were going to go into in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the process works like that. You start your application, you send your 2 years of teaching experiences, you send your certificates or your degrees, everything you have done so far in your career, and you will submit your documentation. Once they review your documentation, they can approve you to the next phase. It's a process with a few steps, a few phases to accomplish. So the first phase is to make sure that you have the teaching experience in your home country and you're also able to speak English. In the beginning, I came in here, like I say, I've been here since 2011. Our English still needs to have the living experience per se. And it was like learning throughout the years and improving my skills throughout the years over here to be comfortable to be in the podcast, for example.
Yeah, no kidding.
They do not accept basic English skills because you're going to be working with kids. You're going to be working in an American school. You're going to be working teaching your subject. And like I say, it can be any subject. It can be the core subjects, math, science, social studies, even ELA. Different ESL, other types of languages. And me, I came as a visual art teacher. So if you have your teaching experience in all those areas and you have an intermediate, it can be advanced English skills, you can go to the next phase.
And the next phase is that when do they decide, I'm sorry, let's go back just a little bit. When they accept you and you put down on your CV that you teach visual arts, so they're going to try to match your background and your teaching skills and your classes with someone with a school in the States. Am I right?
Exactly. So basically, it's a government company, and they're going to try to place you in public schools or charter schools. Right now, I am teaching in a charter school over here. They're going to try to see schools that are in need. Now, we do know that the United States is facing a huge lack of professionals in education right now. So we always have positions open. and they're going to try to match. Once your profile is approved, you have all the documentation in your application approved by the sponsor, you're going to be visible for the schools to hire you. Since the pandemic, they are even promoting online fairs, online job fairs, different counties all around the United States. They are promoting those online fairs. And teachers can be face-to-face, even virtually, with principals, assistant principals, to have a little chat, to have a little interview online. And once you are approved, if the school like you, and you like the school, you have met, there was a successful match, your sponsor, the company that helped you out throughout the process, is going to guide you into the end, until you arrive over here, and continue to give them support. I was very lucky with my
Important because you're interviewing from overseas. So the fact that you can interview with multiple schools and your name is out there through the sponsor, and this company sets you up with different job fairs, because I know that each state, each county, there's job fairs all throughout the year in different stages, and every state is different. I'm from Wisconsin, up north in the Midwest, right? So the cold land of the Packers. And you landed in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've never been to North Carolina before, but had you ever been to the States when you landed?
Yes, I had been to a few places throughout those years. I was able to travel and explore a lot of things in the United States. I'm leaving now for summer in Brazil, and I still have, and I'm going to take another opportunity in another country, going to Middle East too.
Oh, quick. Cool.
Yes. But I didn't know anything about North Carolina.
I don't either. So what's it like? What's it like teaching there? What's your experience like?
Right now, here in North Carolina, in Fayetteville, it's really close to Fort Bragg. Fort Bragg is the biggest military base here in the United States. And that gives us a good, how can I say that? It's a good range. The diversity of my students, it's big. Because my students, even being American, they live abroad. Because the parents are always being deployed everywhere in the world. So I have students, they are American, but they born in Germany, and now they came back here. Oh, in the beginning of my life, I born in Japan, and then I came here. My family was reassigned. So military families have this similarity. They have international students, even being American, they are international because they travel a lot for a certain period of the time in their lives, and they are landing here right now.
Is your school a Department of Defense school, a DOD school, or is it just a school that's public that happens to be next to Fort Bragg?
Yes, it's next to Fort Bragg. It's a charter school, and it's an arts integrated school.
I apologize. You did say that before. It is a charter school, and it wouldn't be part of DOD's then. So I apologize. I sometimes know less about my country than I know about other countries and my experiences. I'm so happy that you're on here to tell us about this, because it is really sort of opposite, right? We have a lot of teachers that go overseas from the U.S. and join our show, and I very rarely get to talk to anybody that teaches in the States as an international teacher, because I'm never there, right? So while you're in my home country, I'm in other home countries, you know, trampling around the U.S., I mean, the world. Boy, that sounded terrible. I'll have to edit that too.
It's very interesting. Right now, I have friends from Brazil that listen, that watch all my content. They are very curious about the J1 process, the international process. That's why I'm so open to share, because I want all the teachers to have this opportunity too. Even though we do know that teaching abroad is not for everyone, but if you had a dream to go for 2 years, get a nice contract in a nice place, you should do it. I think it's a lifetime experience that everybody should be open to face. I have friends in the Philippines, in Jamaica, and they all trying to land in the position over here in the United States. I'm so glad that I'm going to be able to share my experience with them.
So this is sort of fun. Tell me a few things that you find a little bit funny, like some of the things that you share with family and friends back in Brazil. What are some things that you had to get used to living in the States and teaching at school in the States? There's a lot of differences, but so what are some of those? Can you share some of those with us?
Yes. One of the things that surprised me, and we got all excited, not just me, but the group of teachers that came with me. The first thing that they put us to come to the city, then we went, I guess I land in Charlotte, was a little far away from Fayetteville. And they put all of us in a yellow bus. So the yellow bus is real.
School bus. Yeah, it is real.
It's real. The cheerleaders are real. It's not just a movie that we watch on TV. So it's all real. All those cultural things that we see and think, no, this is just from the movies. No, it's real. We have over here.
And prom and all that kind of stuff that you see in middle school.
Yes, I'm teaching photography right now. I'm teaching the high school photography. And we just had the prom, the homecoming. Homecoming and event that they all dress up and we had the pleasure to crowd all the queen and the princess. It was very exciting. Sports is a really big deal over here. In Brazil, we only have soccer. Right here, we have a variety of sports the kids can.
Yeah, football especially, which is a different football for you. So Brazil, you're big in this. Football is the world sport for Brazil in many countries. And wow.
It's huge. It's huge. And it's good because all the kids can explore. If they are not good in soccer in our country, it's just, you don't have many options. But right here, they have all good options. They can share the passions in different fields. And not just the boys, the girls, and everybody has the chance to join. I really like it. I like to share the things. I'm always going with the kids to take pictures and share with my family back home.
When they decided that they needed some chaperones for the homecoming night, you were probably like raising your hand and everyone's looking around like going, oh my God, what is she doing? Don't do that. Don't chaperone. Don't volunteer. But for you, it's a new experience, right?
For me, it's amazing to have this. Everything that is so traditional. I talk to all my teachers' friends over here. It's traditional. I want to do it. I want to take part of that. Not just in the teaching, but like after school, any other experience that we can take advantage of, not just for me, not in the United States, everywhere you're teaching abroad, just go do it. Don't be afraid. Take some risks.
I love it. What a great experience for you. And it's just, like I said, it's just the mirror opposite of what I go through. I land in a country and I go through. So we take the American style teaching goes into the international schools, but we're in a different country. So we just got done with Ramadan in the Middle East. And that was like that whole experience. Like I was like, well, Christmas has been over for quite a while, but for them, it's Ramadan. And it's just like, it's as exciting. That's a whole year. The kids are waiting and waiting and waiting for Ramadan. And that's the biggest thing. And it changes with the moons every year. So it's so different for me. But I really do enjoy learning new things. Obviously, you do too. Are there some things that you miss from home? What are some things that you miss that you while you're teaching there and living there?
Besides the obvious, there would be my family and my friends. The food. The food is especially different over here. I just came downstairs from lunch duty. I had on my break right now. And watching the kids, what they have in the food box is so different because in Brazil we have cookers and they prep the meal every single day. Right here is everything ready made in the box. Everybody is ready to eat whatever they are. So this is kind of hard, especially here in Fayetteville, in the city that I am. It's a little small city. I have to drive more than 45 minutes an hour to find like a Brazilian or a Latin grocery stores. So some ingredients, some vegetables, some things that I like to eat, I don't find that easily around here, but we can always adapt. Yeah? I never had pancakes and waffles in the morning. Now I do.
Do you find yourself eating more fast food when you move to the States than you did back when you were in Brazil?
Yes. Yes, I do. So I had to adapt my exercise routine to. I had to change and switch this a little bit. Otherwise, I'll be super overweight over here. I got fascinated about that. And it's everything so cheap. It's very cheap. So we ended up in the fast pace of life. We ended up like just, okay, let me just get this fast food. It's easy, easy. It's faster. It's right here. And it's cheap. I'm not going to cook. But now I do control myself and I try to prep my meals for the week so I don't fall into temptation.
We'll take a moment's break now to remind you how to reach out to us. Of course, you can address any negative comments to Kent, the cat guy. We do love to hear from you. If you're out on Facebook, we don't do that, but our handle on both Instagram and Twitter are at ITPExpats with an S, ITPExpats. As a handle, if you want to, you can send us an old email at internationalteacherpodcast@gmail.com, or you can visit us at our new website at www.itpexpat.com. www.itpexpat.com. Well, back to the show. Do you talk with your family like once a week? I mean, do you get on a specific time? I usually talk to my family on Sundays. I call at a certain time when they're around and talk to them almost weekly now that my parents are a little bit older. Are you doing the same kind of thing to keep in touch with family, friends?
Yes, for me, it's not that hard because the time difference from Rio is not that long like you have over there in the Middle East. So I can, all the messaging groups and the apps that we have, like WhatsApp, and even the social media, it makes that easier. I can be in touch with them almost every day. I still can FaceTime them. I can give them a video call, whatever night, whatever it's time to, that I'm feeling very alone and I'm feeling missing that. We have one specific word in Portuguese that is not translated in other language. It's called saudade. And saudade okay. is when you really miss someone. In as a nostalgic way, in a good way, and you have good memories. When you feel saudades, yeah, it's time to call.
Saudades, right?
Saudades, yes.
That's I love languages because once in a while you run into a word that has to be translated as a phrase or there's no specific word. I speak German, and in German there's a word called gemütlich, and gemütlich is when you walk into somebody's house and you just immediately feel at home. Like in someone else's, or you feel you're in a space that just you feel completely relaxed and at home. But there's no English word, there's no translation for that. So I really enjoy learning these certain words that are special to a language that have a very special, unique meaning. So thank you for the new word. I love it. I like missing family. And now I can teach my family that word because it is true. We have time. I'm sure you experience this too. You have so many exciting opportunities. You have lots of things to do in Fayetteville. You have a lot of work to do, but you also have a life outside of school. But at some point, you're going to be alone. And no matter how many friends you can surround yourself with or the right foods, you still have some time to yourself and you have to learn about yourself, right?
That's absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just have this theory and I do share that with other people. It's one of those things that international teachers going to a different country, you are going to have to get to know yourself first and foremost because you will have, even if you're in a teaching couples go overseas and they're still going to not have all the time. Like they need to have their alone time and get to know themselves for their own journey. And it's really special. It's a unique thing, but it's very real. And if we don't get through that, you can spiral into a depression and maybe even not last there and go home early and not succeed at what you want to do. Wow, what a great experience. In Fayetteville, I'm wondering, I'm trying to think of like, are there still language barriers for you? Are you comfortable with the language enough than you're teaching and you're...
Yes, I feel very confident, but one thing that I always had, it was an open channel for people to correct me and help me to improve, help me to grow. So the very first day since the get-go, I tell my kids, I'm from Brazil, I do speak Portuguese. So if I made some mistakes, so you're not able to understand my accent, please raise your hand and please talk. Yesterday, I was typing really fast assignments. I said, no, let me change this Google form and put like this. And one student came like and whispered in my ear, Miss V, the past sentence you don't need to put, you did not have, and you put twice. So we kind of don't put like that. And I say, okay, so let me correct that immediately. And I thank you so much. I appreciate you to help me with that. So So even though it would be for 4 years, yes, those minor mistakes still happen.
I know from experience that it is that way when you're speaking another language. Are you dreaming in English now?
I dream in both languages, which is very cool.
I knew it.
Depending on who I'm talking to, and since I'm already thinking ahead, going to the Middle East, this night I had a dream that the lady was talking to me in Arabic. So they're trying to sell some clothes in Arabic. So it's interesting to see, to realize that, oh my God, now I'm bilingual and I'm going to become trilingual. And it can be a mess.
Yeah, I know what a mess is like. One day I went down to this shop and I was talking to a person that really only spoke Arabic and just very like broken English, just little bits and pieces. And there was nobody else in the store. And it was just illogical. I couldn't handle it. I just exploded after a long day of work. And the poor person, I just exploded on him. And I stormed out, you know, muttering all these words in English and just fed up. And I'm like, I felt so bad, but I didn't go back in. I should have gone back in and said something. But I went back to my main language, my English language, just started swearing at myself and stuff. It's like my own little tantrum in English, right?
Some things that you can only do in your own language. If I get too sleepy, my boyfriend kind of suffered with that, because if I get too sleepy late at night or early in the morning and he start talking to me, I start talking in Portuguese and he keep looking at me and make like this funny face and says, why? And then I raise my voice. Why are you not understanding what I'm saying? And because you're saying in Portuguese. He said, oh, I apologize for that. Sometimes that happens. And I speak like the entire sentences. And then, honey, you're speaking in Portuguese. You know that. I said, no,
and you're speaking fast. Yep.
Exactly.
Language is fantastic. I'm glad you're that in that kind of a situation that you're in a school that is very heterogeneous. And there are a lot of languages, it sounds like, that spoken at home. There's a lot of experiences for the kids. The charter school that you're at, the student body is very different and very heterogeneous. They're not all just one language or one background. I think that's a great experience for you. We do experience that a lot overseas, as long as it's not a host national school. For instance, like when I was in Egypt, it was all Egyptian kids, and it was just the expat, mostly expat in the teaching group. And then the school in Cambodia I was at was from all over the world. And we've had different guests on here, and we tend to really think, hey, that's experience is the best. But each kind of experience, depending on the school you go to, is going to give you a different, unique opportunity. And it's really a it's exciting to go through different stages. So your next school, I can't wait to see. I have a question about you're looking at for or you're going to another school at some point. How long are the contracts for the U.S. when you sign up? Is it a 2-year one like what we do in a lot of in other international schools?
So the process, the J-1 visa can grant you to stay in the United States for 2 years. Okay. And it can be extended for three more years. You can be here in a total of 5 years. But the main goal of this type of exchange is you to go back to your home country or whatever you go after to teach what you learn. Right? In my case, I took the opportunity to leave the program and go to teach abroad in an international school. So I'm going directly from the end of my exchange program. I'm landing directly to the international school. So it opens a lot of doors. If you take your time over here to learn, to engage, to improve your classroom management, to improve your classroom skills and learn different things like I did. I had the chance to have my master's degree over here. Yeah? So that helped me a lot to go straight forward to an international school right after. But 5 years is the time limit that you can stay.
Okay. And I have a follow-up question then. When you decided to break away from the sponsor and the J-1 visa and all of that, and you decided that your future is going to be in another international school, how did you get that job?
That job I went to, since I was very lucky with agencies. I looked through different agencies that do the same, they give the same support to teachers. And I looked online, I did my research, different companies that was promoting the same type of help to international teachers. I went to search associates, enrolled myself in a job fair, went to the job fair in Boston in January, create my network over there, talked to a lot of teachers, put myself out there, and ended up getting the being hired for the next journey.
Now you're talking my language. Now we're sharing the same language, because when you start talking about search and job fairs, of course, then you start getting into my wheelhouse and my experiences in the past, not with search, but with others like it. So that that's interesting that you've opened up that kind of a door. And I think it's very rewarding for you to come onto the podcast and be able to share with people from your country that are teaching at your former school, even that don't know about what you're doing now. How do you get into it and learn about the J-1 visa, and then learn about how to go to even more countries, like your friend that's in Dominican or was in Dominican, and to teach at other international schools, not just their eye on the U.S. And there's a time limit, a five-year time limit. So then you broaden your horizons, you get as much out of the U.S. as you can, and then you go and you go somewhere else and keep feeding it back. Can you see yourself working at like a university or something back home in Brazil and teaching about this?
So, yeah, I had the intention to go back home and even offering workshops and present to. My main focus is to introduce multicultural resources and multicultural education and arts integration to other teachers back in Brazil. So I believe that having this teaching experience abroad, that can add on of what I can offer to them. I probably gonna be reaching out to schools that I worked before, principals, administrators, and companies over there to share this experience. I think it can be very rewarding, be able to share that, and can be enriching for all the teachers that is going to listen. Even though the English can be a barrier.
You're right. You're right.
In the beginning, I think you can overcome that with a lot of effort. Yeah? Nothing comes easy, but it can be an inspiration for all the teachers that want to do the same.
How can the teachers that are listening, or anybody that wants to learn more from you, do you have social media or a website or something or that you want to share with the listeners?
Yes. The Multicultural Education Project. It's going to be at Multicultural AED Project. It's something that I'm going to be launching in the next few weeks. It's going to be a complete project turns to helping teachers that want to teach abroad, that want to come here to the United States to teach under a J-1 visa, and teachers that are already teaching abroad can drink out this fountain of multicultural education, exchange experiences, get free resources, implementing these arts and culture from all different parts of the world. I'll be launching that in the next few weeks. Maybe it's going to be the same time that the podcast is going to be on air. But the Multicultural Education Project, it's going to be the landing name, the landing link for my next steps.
So is it going to be in multi languages? Are you going to do it in Portuguese and in English?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be exciting to see that. I can just imagine you leading some PDs, doing some videos, coaching, offering advice, doing newsletters, and doing some social media. I can just see it just blossoming down there because it is secret.
Yes, I'm doing my research because I want to learn everything in a platform that supports that, that supports to have a tab that you can click, oh, I'm going to see this in Portuguese. I need to see those resources in English, in Arabic, in the idiom. I'm doing a little research because of that, because not everybody's going to be able to jump right away and listen to everything and watch everything in English.
I have a good way to learn English. They can listen to the International Teacher Podcast. So you'll have to put like a little tab up there and say, listen to these great guys. They're a little bit silly, but you know.
Exactly. That's the intention. Support each other. And I'm 100% sure that my audience is going to be happy to listen.
Well, I think I say welcome to the family is what I should say. Because if the Multicultural Education Project is coming up, and it might be right when we publish this on air, it might be a little bit later, it might be a little bit earlier, but welcome to the family. I mean, we have a lot of startups that are trying to give back to the international teacher world of education, the idea of going somewhere else and sharing what you have learned and teaching in another school, another country, to learn that culture, live with them. So you're a part of our family now, and we will add you to our long list of wonderful resources for people to listen to. And we'll go from there. I mean, I can't wait to have you come back on the show. And I say that to every guest, but I really mean it, to check back with us from your new school and see what it was like not to go to the U.S. with other people from Brazil, but to go to another country and land and be in another staff, another school, in a completely different language. And it's going to be exciting. And you use your English because that's the language of international schools. It's going to be super. I'm excited for you. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm super excited too. I know that we are in the final weeks of the school year here in the United States, and I start to feel a little nostalgic, and I know I'm going to send you saudades. I'm going to miss saudades for everybody over here in the United States for sure. I'm closing this school year, creating a great partnership with a friend. We just launched a book. It's going to be on the Multicultural Education Project. Just illustrated a book over here to feature all the things that we have been doing. It's a book about theater. I'm super excited. We just launched today.
Nice.
It, like I say, I took all the opportunities that you were offered for me in here. So all the things you're going to be able to see on my website. I also have my my professional account, the teacher account, Miss Camila Vasconcelos. People can also see and follow us there and see all the next steps. I'm going to be super glad to share.
Well, like we always say on the podcast, I will put links to in the notes of the podcast. I will put links to anything that you give me, and so our listeners can follow with that. Do you have any last bits of advice? Let's say somebody's just tuning in and they're listening to you. What are some advice that you have for people that want to be international teachers, especially Brazil?
So to my fellow teachers in Brazil, I want you to know that it's possible to reach the travel and teaching dream if you start to put in a lot of effort in what you already is doing in your classroom. If you are passionate about teaching, that should be your main thing. Now, the second thing, if you are adventurous and want to take a journey that is going to give you even more adventure, you should join. You should do it. It's going to require you a lot of effort, a few tears, but the reward and the smiles and all the things that you're going to learn, all the people that you're going to meet, it is going to be worth it for sure.
Well, I tell you what, I can't say much more than, hey, thank you for being on our show. I wish you the best in your next country. We'll see you back on. The Multicultural Education Project will be launching soon. I can't wait for that. But I would like to say thank you for being on the show. And for those of you out there listening, just do it. Just be an international teacher, because she is an example of someone that is just living life overseas. So thank you very much for listening and being on our show. We'll leave it at that. And I am excited for you. I really, truly am.